Hello. I'm walking home now. Just got off work. There are a lot more people walking on the street in the evening, so I feel like I look more like a freak talking to my phone, but I'll pretend I'm talking to someone on the phone, even though I don't have my headphones plugged in.
Well, every time you come on over, I just wanna listen. I know you got some issues, and I know that you just miss him. I got a fever just to see you feeling like a stalker. And didn't know I'm really good at making you feel awkward.
Mutually Awkward Podcast, episode 69. This is Paige, and I'm with myself. I've been absent from the podcast for about two episodes. But the last one I was on, I was podcasting with my friend Charles, and that was in April, so it's been a while. Remember, Vin sent me an email saying that I was fading from the podcast, and that made me really sad. So I decided that I should just do one with myself. I was actually supposed to podcast with a friend, but she is very unfamiliar with podcasts and stuff. So we ended up recording, but it was only like 10 minutes because that was as much as she was willing to give, which is fine. I decided that maybe this would be a good chance for me to talk about what I've been doing since May. I started traveling a lot. So every weekend I was kind of going somewhere, and then, my big trip started. So like, was it like kind of end of May? I went to Paris for the weekend with my friends. It was my first time, going to Paris or going to somewhere in Europe that wasn't Switzerland. That's a lie. So I've been to London before, but I mean, since I've lived here, it's been like over 6 months now. I haven't left the country. So for me, and also Paris being like this iconic city, it was really exciting. And I had a really great time with my friends. It was just a short weekend. But it was nice to get away from Lucerne, because Lucerne is very, it's a small town. It's like picturesque, scenic, slow pace. For me, perfect to live in. But then Paris was just vibrant, and it was just, I mean, there were a lot of tourists and stuff, but it was just, you could just feel there's life on the streets, and it was nice to just feel that energy for a little bit. Especially knowing that I'm not a city girl. I'm more like a small town girl, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, so that was my first trip. And then immediately the week after, I went on my week-long trip to Iceland. So with my best friends from home. And that was really cool because it was just nice to see them again, like to be able to see, because now I'll see her twice a year. And I think that's really awesome. So I went with her and her family. I started out by myself in Reykjavik. I had two days to myself. So I was in a hostel, and then they joined on the Monday, and then we went on a road trip basically around the southeastern part of Iceland. Yeah, it's been a while since I traveled alone. And I realized I don't typically like traveling by myself, because usually in my past experience, I used to be very bad at planning. So I wouldn't plan anything, and then I would go by myself, and it'd be like a disaster because, you know, I didn't plan anything. So I would just be like, I'm just going to wing it, you know, and make really bad decisions and lose a lot of money, because I realized if I had planned it earlier, I would have saved a lot more money, you know, got better deals and stuff like that. So in the past, I just felt like me traveling myself, not great. But so I started to get really obsessed with this app. It's a desktop app called Airtable. And if you really like spreadsheets, this is the app for you, because it's basically spreadsheets, but you can input other things instead of numbers, because I'm not a numbers person. I don't do math or whatever. I don't know. I use it for everything. So it's like my budgeting. Before, I never was able to budget my finances. I started to do that, which is awesome. still struggling, but, you know, it's just helpful to keep me on track. And then I started making, what really helped with my travel plans was making like a travel list. So I would, you know, plan out where I need to go and in detail, like places I want to visit. And then since it was fun for me, I really planned out all the things I need to do when I was with myself. So my trip was just well planned. So I didn't get lost really. And I felt like I was able to travel at my own pace, you know, and knowing that I would see my friends later, I didn't bother to socialize with anybody, even though I thought maybe I should have, but I was like, nah, I'm going to see my friends for a whole week. That's enough socializing for me. So it was really nice. I really liked traveling by myself in Iceland for basically, so I had, in the end, I had 3 days to myself and I was just walking around the city, just, you know, mostly trying out Asian food places because I've been deprived of that here in Switzerland. So that's been my main goal. Reykjavik, definitely not the best place for shopping because it's so expensive. Do not recommend. Unless you're really rich, don't expect to buy a lot of stuff in Reykjavik. But yeah, so it was a lot of exploring, going to a lot of museums. That was really cool. And then, so anyway, so then my friends come and then we go on this week-long excursion, and we saw, so Iceland is just beautiful scenery, landscapes. This is where they film a lot of movies and stuff like that. So one of the highlights, I mean, I'm not going to go through the entire trip, should I? No. One of the highlights was one of our friends, Pat. He is obsessed with Batman, so he was very set on going to this place called, I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not even going to say it. Okay, I'm going to try to say it. Svinazjökull or something. It's basically this glacier that it's like a national park, and they have this huge glacier, and this is where they filmed both Batman Begins, apparently the scene where Batman fights Ra's al Ghul, and then Inception. No. Not Inception. Interstellar. Yes, this is where they film Interstellar, where they go rescue Matt Damon. Sorry if that was a spoiler. Yeah, so that was super nice. It's, for me, it was very, so I was like, okay, I'm glad I had my friends along with me to push me through this journey, because definitely not how I would enjoy traveling, because it was, for me, too, not enough rest and seeing a lot of things in one day. And I never realized I'm the type of person that I can't process a lot of information. So for me, ideally, like two big things is like enough for one day. But we would see like four things. And that for me was like too much. So, but I had a great time with my friends. We stayed at some really cool places. Like we ended up booking this Airbnb it was like in the middle of nowhere. It was this like barn. Okay, it wasn't a barn, but it was like the smallest village. So they had their own cemetery church thing, and then there was like this like long guest house and like two sheds, and then the main house, which was actually quite small, and a huge barn, and that was it. That was like the town or something. I don't know, it was weird, but it was super nice. Like it was just like beautiful. I mean, the sun would set at like midnight, and then it would be somewhat dark for like 3 hours, and then the sun would rise again. So it was pretty weird to be like, it's 11 p.m. and it feels like it's 5, you know. So that was cool. So it kind of made me like, so I think that's why we ended up staying out later, or we'd like drive longer, because it just didn't look as late as it was. So on average, we're coming home at midnight from our like journey and stuff, and then we would sleep, wake up at 10, and then begin our day at noon. So in a way, it was like, I mean, it was really hard to get an early start because we were arriving so late. Yeah, that was the gist of it. I feel like since I'm really just talking by myself, I'm probably missing a lot of points. Like at this moment, Vince would probably ask me a question about my trip and I could get into it, but I'm like losing track of what I'm talking about. So sorry if this is like a weird summary of my vacations. But anyways, Iceland, highly recommend. We realized, okay, because our idea was like, we're going to drive around the whole of Iceland thinking it was like really small, but it's not. It's huge. It's a huge land, island. So in the, we really spent 4 days on the road, and I would say, so I, ideally my friends had wanted 1 day in Reykjavik, but in the end they had 1 hour in Reykjavik. That was how pressed for time we ended up being. If you, I feel like you just have to keep that in mind if you want to go to Iceland, that every point of interest was basically an hour's drive away. Maybe if you book like a tour, they would, you know, they would probably plan it out better for you, or you might just see one thing a day, you know, but that costs a lot. Like usually each tour, guided tour would be like about 100 US, I think. So we kind of just rented the car and did our own tours and just stopped at various points. And again, not realizing how huge the island is. So I recommend do a bit of research and kind of figure out what you really want to see. And keep in mind that it's a ways away from each destination. So you want to figure out, like we spent a lot of time driving and stuff. And our last day was just, because we just ran out of time, so we were like, we had to do just a straight shot back to Reykjavik. That was like 3 or 4 hours. And which in retrospect, I feel like it's not a big deal because California is like really huge. And usually a road trip would take, like I remember when I used to drive to San Francisco with my sister or whatever, it would take, it would take me 8 hours because I was a slow driver or whatever. It would take her like maybe 6 or something. So, I mean, it's a drive. So I guess when you say 3 to 4 hours back from the national park, which was like almost the center, central Iceland, to drive back to like the very east, which is where the city is, maybe that's not a big deal, but I don't know. It was just like half a day of driving. So, so right after Iceland, I had, I think, one Sunday just to pick up my cat, you know, get some stuff together. And then the very next day, my family, my mom and my sister, they flew in from LA to visit me for a week. And wow, I have not traveled with my family as adults ever. I realized that on this trip and I learned so much. It was very stressful. I remember because they're coming and they'd never seen me abroad. You know, they've never seen me in my first apartment or whatever. So I was I wanted to impress them, you know, so I made sure everything was clean. And then I was like, I planned their trip out so much, which ended up backfiring because I just, when I would take them to places, I'd realize, oh, they're not into this, you know, and then you're just like, oh shit. Like now I feel kind of bad because we could have gone somewhere else, you know, and we might have paid less or didn't have to travel for as long. But overall, they were kind of, it was kind of just like, you know, I've never done this before with them. And it was like, I guess, trial and error thing. And I think in the end, my family still enjoyed their time here because mostly they were here to visit me anyway. So they got to see me and I got to see them and share a bit of my life with them. And I think they like that. So the day before my family, they were going to fly out, my old high school friend, who will be joining me on the podcast towards the end of this episode, she came out to visit me, also from LA. And that was awesome because I haven't seen her. Like, I think ever since I moved abroad, it's like friend time is very limited. Like when I would go home for 2 weeks, it's like I really plan out when I'm going to see certain people. And with this friend, usually we plan a day together. And then usually we realize during our day together, oh, we need more time. So then we usually plan one more day during my last week. It's kind of been a pattern. We were pretty good. We got close in high school, but we didn't really get, we knew each other in high school, but we didn't get close until college. And I would say we really saw each other grow, like, from the bottom. I think we both really were very different. And she has a very strong personality, but which I've learned over time that it seems like my type of personality can handle strong personalities because I'm so tolerant and patient and passive, which is could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you see it. So we were able to spend a whole week together, which we haven't in, I would say, 10 years. And this, again, was a learning experience because I haven't spent a week with this person in ever, you know. So I would say there was a bit of a bump in the road, but, you know, all friendships have that, you know. But we ended up having a really great time. So she spent a bit of time in the city, and I took her for her birthday. I gave her passes to one of the Lucerne's famous mountains, Mount Pilatus, and she enjoyed that. And then we had a little weekend getaway in St. Gallen, which is towards the east of Switzerland. So we did an overnight trip there. We went to this really famous restaurant. Well, it's not famous. It's like up and coming. Like, it's really well known within Europe, I think, but it's starting to become trendy for people outside of Europe, because several people have sent me a link about this restaurant. It's basically on the side of a mountain. It looks really beautiful. And my friend, it was featured in, like, what is it? National Geographic or whatever. But my friend, being a huge foodie, it was featured in Bon Appetit, I think, or whatever. And so she was like, we have to go. And I was so glad she told me about this place, because I would not have known it existed. Because, again, I'm still quite new to Switzerland, so I'm really hitting, like, the main tourist traps or whatever, you know. So this is, like, I noticed all the tourists there, they were from probably Swiss, or they were from Germany, because it was all German sounding. That was really cool. And then we ended up, I feel like we really bonded over the trip. Like, this is where we had our little falling out for 2 hours, but then we, like, made up and then became closer friends, you know, which is what friendships are all about. Yeah. So, I'll get into this trip later before I link my podcast with Joe, because it would just transition better. We did the trip, and then I had, again, so Joe leaves and I have one day to myself again. And I think I want to use it to clean my apartment, but I literally just lied on the couch the whole time. And the very next day, my friend Gustav from Sweden, arrived to visit me, and stayed for about a week as well. And at this point, I think I was just so tired. I mean, it's great having friends and family fly all over the world just to see you. That's really awesome. But I just realized at this point, I was like, oh my God, booking back-to-back visits all in 1 month right after traveling, like, not a good idea, because I had no time to myself. And I felt like my apartment was a mess. You know, I didn't feel like my place. But yeah, so anyway, so at this point, I think I was so tired from hosting that I kind of, when Gustav came, I mean, I feel like, well, he was, like, super independent, and he's been to Switzerland before, I think, not to Lucerne. So I think because of that, I felt a little bit like, okay, I don't need to plan so much with him. And knowing that he likes to save money all the time, he pretty much suggested we eat dinner at home almost every night. And then, because he likes cooking, he would make me dinner every night. That was freaking cool. It was, I really, towards the end, I was like, oh my God, it was like having a mom who was more of a mom than my own mom. No offense to my mother, because my mom made food for me and stuff, but she's very, like, when I had my family over, I realized, I was like, oh, I can see why I grew up to be very messy, because they were so messy. Like, my mom especially. Like, I realized with my current apartment, I'm actually quite, I wouldn't, I try to be clean, but I'm pretty tidy. So it was very cool. I suddenly was like, wow, this is where I learned how to be messy from, because, you know, I would have to remind my mom, please, can you put this away after, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I felt like, who have I become? You know, I never knew I was such a tidy freak or whatever. But anyway, so yes, because Gustav would clean right after he made dinner, you know. He would make enough food, and he would freeze the portions and be like, you're gonna have leftovers for work tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God, this is so great. And I let him sleep on my bed because he's taller than me. And at this June just kept getting hotter and hotter, so I just ended up sleeping in the living room, which was really nice to sleep on the floor for a little bit. It just felt like, you know, new experiences. So yeah, that was really fun having Gustav around. I was like, you are welcome back anytime. You can stay for a week, 2 weeks, doesn't matter, because he's a really great guest. And I think it was almost just like me kind of letting go with the planning, and we were able to do stuff, but also I really just hang out and just not do anything, you know, and I felt really taken care of. So that was awesome. Yeah. So now, so this past week, it was my first week alone and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. Like it's been, I mean, I've been going through some other stuff meanwhile, which has been a bit rough, which is kind of why it was difficult hosting people and realizing I needed time to myself to kind of reflect and get my emotional, personal stuff together. And I didn't have this time, you know? So there were, I think there was some tension with certain people because I just didn't have time to myself, which I'm going to say, like next year, going to this next year, definitely. I mean, I welcome visitors, people come visit me. I enjoy hosting, you know, but I'm going to really plan out, okay, if I host this person for a week, someone's not coming the week after, or I'm not going to travel the week before, you know, I'm really going to space things out to make sure that I have enough personal time. So with that being said, so this podcast is kind of all over the place because I was recording bits. So this was like, I think when Joe was here and I was again starved for personal time. So I started recording what I thought would be journal casts because at the time I wasn't sure if I was going to do a journal cast, if I was going to podcast with Joe. So I was like, I'm just going to have material just in case. So I started recording stuff to and from work because that was the only time I had to like talk to myself, you know, and whatever. And, at first I thought, oh yeah, it's super normal because everyone talks on their phone or they talk to their phones, you know, but then I realized like people usually are talking to their phones and they have like earbuds in. So, you know, oh, they're talking to somebody, but I was literally like no earbuds. You couldn't hear whoever was talking from my phone. I was just speaking to it. So I was like, okay, probably looked a bit weird, but whatever. So with that said, I will leave you with some of my, my thoughts from that week. I made like three recordings and I cut out like, I mean, I only decided to post like 7 minutes of that because most of it was just really personal, really dark and stuff I really don't want to talk about right now until I kind of figured everything out. So without further ado, here is my view on lying. One of the things I always had going for myself was people always told me I was honest and they appreciated that. And then as I got older, I learned how to hide my feelings. I learned how to lie. And I actually don't have a problem with, you know, lying to other people. If it depends on the circumstances. Like if you need to protect yourself in a situation, I think that's totally fine. But I think when you lie to yourself, that's the worst. That just messes everything up. And most of the times, people can see through it. I just look like an idiot, I guess. I just feel like I've been in a really bad place mentally where I just feel stupid all the time. And I've even lower self-esteem than before, which is just, I don't know how that's even possible. You know? And I feel like I'm regressing back to the person I was. Ten years ago. And that scares me a lot because I worked really hard to not be that person. And it's just scary to move to three different continents and be in a beautiful city and feel like everything's coming together and then one thing kind of ruins it all, you know? And that one thing is yourself. So I just ended up adding on. So it was two snippets. So one was a bit about lying, which I thought was interesting. I was like, yeah, okay. This is an interesting, I don't know, quote from me or whatever. And then kind of getting into this whole low self-esteem thing, which is something I've been working on for, I would say, actively working on for the last last 3 years. I've been working on this because I grew up, I've always had low self-esteem, and it comes from, you know, a lot of sources, I would say it's upbringing, it's family and stuff like that. And, but I always knew I had low self-esteem, but I didn't really start to work on it until I would say a few years ago when it was really pointed out to me that I have low self-esteem and this is not good for me. Yeah, I think this, I think this is why, like, basically after, totally looking forward to July and August, because first of all, I made sure I'm not going anywhere to save money, because seriously, traveling drained me. And it, like, I'm not trying to like defend or justify that my travels or whatever, but basically I have really amazing friends who really wanted to travel with me. So they allowed me, they would basically kind of like, what is it? They would spot me during the travels and I would pay them back. I mean, I pay everyone back as right after I get my paycheck and stuff. So it's fine. I'm not just like a complete freeloader, but I mean, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to always be go on travels and trips and have my friends pay for that. It's like, that's not cool. So I cut out travels July and August because I really did still was greedy and wanted to go somewhere. But I was like, no, staying here. And then I'm going to focus back onto my personal projects. You know, all these things I put on hold for months. And I would say that not doing my own thing, not being in my own space for so long, that really took a toll on my self-esteem. Because I would say, like, I was feeling really great, I would say, in January when I felt like, you know, I have my own space, you know, I'm getting back into things and stuff like that. And then I started dating, which for me is a problem in the sense where I tend to just pause my life and I really just center my life around the other person. And that's not good. That's really not good because, you know, you need to live for yourself. You can't live for other people. And having to try to readjust back into my old life became difficult, you know, and it just it's bad. Yeah. Like I think, so this is kind of my journey for the next 2 months. I mean, I will probably talk about it more in the future episodes and stuff like that because I would love, you know, I always, there was a time where Vince was sending me, kind of like self-help YouTube videos. And I love that. You know, I just loved, I feel like I should actively search it out for myself, but I'm kind of like lazy or I just feel like my friends probably know, they've seen it all. So they can just send me what they like or whatever. And, but that's been really great. And I definitely feel like I need it. What's been getting me through are my friends and mostly my friends, to be honest. And, going back to that. So, and I think, cause this is my own podcast, I feel really weird talking for an hour straight. It's like almost 30 minutes. So I think this is a good time to kind of wrap it up. But, so going back to St. Gallen with Joe. So I would say before I moved out here, most of my really close friends were introverted. And I think introverted people and extroverted people have a way of processing things in a different way. And I think when you're when your close friends are introverted and you're like, I feel weird or I feel down, you know, like generally we'll always tell you like, just stay home. You need a time for yourself. You know, like you need to just stay home. Don't talk to anyone, you know, do your own thing, which is completely valid advice. It's really good to, you need you time, you know, you need to recharge, you need that space. It's awesome. But it wasn't until this last trip that I realized the true value of having not just extroverted friends, but just friends who are really different from you. This trip with Joe, so again, traveling myself, I either travel alone or in groups and stuff. And I think I don't give off a vibe of being outgoing, so I don't really attract strangers to talk to me or whatever. But throughout this trip, we, you know, like, people were coming up to talk to us, you know, like, we had some great conversations. It was really cool. And I was just like, wow, this never happens to me. And I asked Joe, does this happen to you often, you know, getting strangers to just talk to you? She's like, yeah, it happens to me all the time. And really, like, she wasn't like, everyone talk to me or whatever, you know. I think she just gave off this vibe of, like, I'm open, talk to me. And it, for me, it was super cool to be able to experience that and be like, yeah, people aren't so scary, you know. And having her kind of initiate these moments or these connections, it was easy for me to later come out of my shell and talk to a stranger, you know. And it was really cool. But I would say the biggest takeaway from our trip was, so I think was basically the middle of our trip, the first night of our trip or whatever, it was a really bad night. I don't want to get too much into detail, but we had a falling out. My boyfriend happened to be there, got in a fight with him, you know, so I was in a really bad place. At one point, yeah, Joe and I weren't talking to each other, and finally she was like, hey, what's going on, you know? And I just told her, you know what, I haven't had me time this whole month, pretty much, and I just wanted 2 hours to myself. And she was like, you know, you just tell me that next time. You just tell me you need 2 hours to yourself, and yeah, I'll give you that, you know? Because I think the way I did it was very, we were both very passive aggressive to each other. So yeah, I told her, okay, after dinner, because she was like, do you want to go to this bar after dinner? And then I was like, no, I think I'm going to go home and kind of, you know, be depressing or whatever, cry in the hotel room by myself. But I was like, I really need this. And she was like, okay. So we were at this cafe, and I think, okay, so not to be embarrassing, but I was like crying, and people were seeing, they noticed I was crying. So I think this had something to do with that, because after we paid for a meal, our waiter comes up to us and was like, hey, do you want to go to a party? It's happening like at this bar. It's really cool. My friends are doing this indie night, you know, it starts at 11 and I'm coming at 1, but whatever, it's going to be really fun. So we were like, okay, you know, so he gave us the details for it. And then that was kind of nice, you know, just to be like, oh, like, we got invited somewhere and it could take my mind off things. But then as we were walking back to the hotel, I was like, you know what, Joe, I'm just going to stay at home. I don't feel good. Like, I'm tired. And she was like, okay, you know, no worries. So she goes to not that bar, but like this other bar by herself for about an hour and a half. And she comes back and she's like, how are you? And I was clearly like in a worse state, and she was like, and then also this is how I noticed, like, so she's not a big, so we talk about a lot of stuff, but when it comes to really, I think, emotional matters, she's, no offense to her if she's listening, like, she's not like the most like emotive person, but she cares, she's just not emotive. So she listens to me kind of say these things, and she, you know, looks sympathetic. And then she's like, do you want to come for a walk with me so I can walk off this wine? Because she said she had a bit too much to drink at this other bar. And I was like, yeah, you know, I could do a walk, just the two of us. So we're walking. And then I was like, in my head, I was already thinking, oh, I think this is the direction of that party that the waiter had, you know, told us about. And then sure enough, we arrive at this, it was like, you know, it was kind of crazy. It was just like, you're walking this boring neighborhood street, and then suddenly there was like this bar with like, you know, lights everywhere and a bunch of young people. And I was like, at this point, I kind of already knew this was happening. And I was like, did you do this on purpose? You know? And she was like, yeah, I just figured you need to get out of that place and just, you know, be somewhere else and think about something else. And immediately that, I was already feeling like, I would say 100% better. I was just feeling relieved, you know, and I was like, wow, this is what I needed. But I didn't realize that I needed that, because what I felt I really needed was to continue crying and just sleep so I could just wait. So this night could be over and I could just wake up, you know. And it was just, you know, just a lot of energy. I didn't expect to go there to meet people or even dance. She was just like, hey, let's just get some drinks. Let's talk. So, you know, we get some drinks, we sit down, and this is where we podcast, which was, you'll see, it was cool. we didn't stay out too late because at a certain point I was like, okay, this is just a bunch of young college kids. I feel so out of place right now. Like, I'm done. Let's get out of here. So we leave and, you know, I head back into the hotel in a pretty good mood. And the next day is when we woke up and then we went to the restaurant in the mountains. And that actually, for me, was the perfect day ever. It was not the perfect day ever. It was the best day ever. It was a really great day. And I have to say, if it wasn't for her bringing me out of that sadness, I probably would have been a bit moody or whatever, you know? But that's when I was like, wow, like, it's good to have people who really get you, who really understand what you're going through and know what you need. But at the same time, it's cool to have, like, somebody completely different who would have handled things differently and suggest a new way of looking at things. Because that's when I realized, oh, going out after I'm really depressed, I used to be like, oh, that's so, like, you're just running away from your feelings. You're escaping your feelings, you know? Like, you gotta face your feelings, whatever. But at that time, I really needed that because I'm always with my feelings, you know? So having one night out, you know, that just made me feel better. And I'm going to say, like, most of my friends here are very outgoing, very extroverted and stuff like that. And I'm getting along with them very well. I thought I would not get along with extreme extroverts that well. But, yeah, I do. And So life has been a roller coaster, and it's still happening to me right now. Again, we'll not get into details until it's mostly sorted, where I feel ready to talk about it. I mean, everything's okay. It's just, you know, life stuff. But I had a really good time traveling with my friends and everything. But the main takeaway too is don't forget about yourself and don't forget about your needs as well. So with that, I will leave you with the podcast between me and Joe. Hope you guys like it. This is Mutually Awkward, episode 69. Usually Vince plugs a bunch of stuff, like you could call in to our number, which I don't know. You know, I think he probably reads off some sort of cue card or something, but all I know is you can email us at mutuallyawkward@gmail.com, and then maybe like us on Facebook or something, because it would be cool. I'm always like, yeah, I want more likes. I'm that person. I want more likes, you know, so please like us on Facebook, follow us on Tumblr. Keep it awkward. Bye.
So we're in a bar in the middle of nowhere in Saigalan. This is Paige, and I'm with my friend of 15 years. You can choose a fake name for yourself if you want.
Joe.
Okay, with Joe. And we're just testing this out because this might be too loud or whatever, but we're having a moment, so I felt like it was a good time to podcast. So the thing is, Joe has no idea what this podcast is about to begin with. So I'm going to do a brief introduction. So the podcast is called Mutually Awkward. So I started it with my friend Vin, and we just talked about life.
Fair enough.
Really? And we were just having this moment, and I really was just like, this is the time to podcast, you know? And
I think Mutually Awkward describes both of us quite well.
I was in my hotel room, just feeling so completely alone and realizing I was in the middle of nowhere. And then Joe comes back and tricks me into coming into this bar, still in the middle of nowhere, and it's fucking awesome.
It's like the trendiest place we could have gone in the middle of nowhere with a random invite from a random waiter in the most random cafe we could have picked.
Or so. And I'm just really happy
but the liveliness of music, youth, and good company.
Yes, and let me say something. So our podcast is tech, is usually geared towards introverts. So I was having a really introverted moment earlier. I was kind of in a, I'll just summarize it, but I was in like a fight with my boyfriend, and it's like, so Joe and I had been out all day, and I was just like, things have been rocky between me and my boyfriend, and so I pretty much asked for some time alone in the hotel to kind of collect my thoughts, in which I feel like I ended up fucking up my relationship even more. But at that moment, it was just like, I was just like, you know what, I just want to go to bed, because we were invited to this party, and I was like, I'm not going to go, you know, I can't, you know? And this is when I realized the true value of having an extroverted friend, because she literally tricked me to come out, and right when I kind of figured out where we were going, I felt really great and really happy. And this is something, if you had an introverted friend, they would encourage you to stay home, and maybe you would have, like, been able to mend yourself, but this is really fun.
And at the most opportune moment, RHCP comes on.
Yes. And that was my favorite band in high school.
Thank you, nostalgia.
Yeah. That's so weird. I just realized that.
Yeah, there was this picture that I couldn't find, but my mom sent me this picture of me and Joe and some other friends in high school, my 15th birthday, and I was dressed like Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
So this is like come full circle, kind of.
And just saying, I had no musical heroes, so could not dress up as anybody.
Yeah, I remember that party, I was like, let's dress up as our, like, musical, blah, 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 and no one dressed up, so. But it's fine, it was just my excuse to dress up like Anthony Kiedis, so.
It was great.
Yeah.
Every theme party was always great, and that is what I loved about Paige. We always had a reason to get together, a reason to enjoy ourselves, and a good reason to just enjoy good company.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, one thing I really loved was I used to, so we didn't see each other that often, but when we did, we would just, like, I remember I used to go to your place, and we'd talk till, like, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And we'd be so tired, but we would just
still keep talking.
Force ourselves to keep talking and talking, and it was just, like, it kind of happened the other night.
Yeah.
Where we kept talking about, I was like, oh my god, I have to go to work. So I was like, hold on. I was trying to be responsible, and I was like, I need to go to bed. But it's one of those things, you know, where like, and we had talked about this earlier, how we're the kind of friends where we don't need to constantly keep tabs on each other or constantly update each other. But when we get together, and honestly, this is the first time we've actually really hung out for more than like weeks together.
Yeah. More than like a few hours.
Yeah.
It's like every time now because, you know, at some point in life we were both abroad and like we understand the difficulty of being in the same location at the same time and being able to just have an endless amount of time together. So when time becomes your most valuable asset, we try to make the most of it. Hence our long late night chats until the sun came up.
It's just really nice to be able to meet and just kind of pick up what we left off, you know?
Yeah. I think so too. And those are sort of the, I mentioned before, is like, those are sort of the friends that I find most valuable because no matter how much time passes in between, we can still pick up and understand that, yes, life gets busy and sometimes gets in the way, but that shouldn't disconnect you from a relationship.
Exactly. And I think, like, I think we've both kind of been in similar situations where, so Joe was the first to kind of, she went abroad in college and made these friends in Bristol, London, yeah. And then and was able to keep in touch with them after all these years. And I think when I moved away to Hong Kong, then I had to keep in touch with my friends from home, you know? So I think we both have this kind of experience of long-distance friendships under our belt.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting experience because not everybody is cut out for it. But at the same time, you appreciate those who understand that aspect of your life and that transition. And that sort of life choice that you make.
Take her to find what's waiting inside. The year a ticket, so you have to stay on. But the drumbeat strains of the night remain, and the rhythm of the newborn day. You know, sometime you're bound to leave her, but for now you're gonna stay in the year of the cat.